And today's daf is daf chaf. So we got to the bottom of Yud Tes Amud Beis. The Mishnah begins, Natal Evan or Kor. Let's say a person, the Gizbar of Hekdesh, the treasure takes from Hekdesh, he takes it either an Evan or a Kor, he takes a rock or a beam shel Hekdesh. So the din is Harez Elomal. Taking it alone, that's not considered Hekdesh, because Hekdesh is only Mila is only a violation when you either remove it from the state of being Hekdesh or you get Hanah from it. So since simply just taking it, because he's the Gizbar, so that's not considered a violation of Mila. So then the Mishnah says, going on to Daf Chaf, that let's say Nasna Lechaveru, he gives it to his friend, he gives it to another person. So then, Humal, then he violates, the Gizbar violates Mila in that case, because since he gives it to his friend, it then leaves its state of being Kadosh, Hekdesh, there's a violation of Mila. The Chaveru Lomal, however, the friend who took it from the Gizbar, he is not in violation of Me'ila. Only the Gizbar who gave it over is the one who violates Me'ila. It's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ve'es asher chata min hekdesh yishalem." The one who takes it from hekdesh is really the one who has to pay. It's the Gizbar. So then the Mishnah goes on to say, "Natal pruta shehekdesh." Let's say the Gizbar takes a pruta, a coin from hekdesh. Harei lamal, simply taking it alone because it never left Rishut. Because Rishut, he has full control over where the hekdesh funds go. By him taking it, that hasn't left. Did I skip a line? Yeah.
But no,
oh, you're right. Okay. Bana Basoch Besos, thank you. Let's say the Gizbar takes a rock or a beam and builds it into his house. So then Harez Elomal, there is no violation of Me'ila either there, Ad Sheyador Tachte, until you actually live underneath it. And the Gemara is going to explain why that is. How come when you build it, isn't it now changing it to a state of being Chulin? So Gemara is going to explain it's not where he actually changed the formula. He just kind of put it into his house. He used it as a closing up a window of his. That wasn't a Shinor, therefore never leaves the Rishus until he gets Hana from it. So building it part of the house in that situation, Harez Elomal, Ad Sheyador Tachtea Bishav Pruta, until he lives beneath it or it gets some form of Hana worth a value of a Pruta. Let it say, Nata Pruta, he takes a coin shel Hekdesh. Harez Elomal, that's not my Mila either, because he has the rights of using the money. So him just taking it, that hasn't changed from the state of being Hekdesh. But let's say, Nasna Lechaver, he takes the Pruta of Hekdesh, gives it to his friend. So then, Humal, the Gizbar is Mal, because he caused it to leave the state of being Kedusha. V'chaver Elomal, however, the Chaver, who is the one who received it, he is not in violation of Mila. Nasa la balam. Let's say the Gizbar takes a coin of Hekdesh, he gives it to the balam, which is he's the person in charge of the Beis HaMerachah, so the bathhouse, he allows you to come in, so you give it to him. The din is af al pi shel arachatz, even though the Gizbar doesn't go ahead and bathe in the Beis HaMerachah, mal, that alone is considered a violation of Me'ila, because shu omer lo, the balam who says to him, listen, hareza merachatz pasuach lefanecha, hikane serachot, it's open to you, you already paid your fee, now whether or not the Gizbar wants to use it or not, that's up to him. But the fact is, he has the opportunity, he has the option of now going in if he wants to. That itself is considered leaving the state of Hekdesh, entering into the state of Chulin, and that would also be a violation of Me'ila simply by handing over the money. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Achilas of Achilas Chaveru. Let's say the person eats and a friend eats. They combine the amount of eating from Hekdesh, a little bit, half a pruta to this one, half a pruta to the other one, or Hanas of Hanas Chaveru, or they get Hana, which is not eating, but some other form of Hana, that two people get half a pruta to each of Hana, which amounts to a full pruta, or Achilas of Hanas Chaveru, or eating of one guy and Hana of one guy, or Hanas of Achilas Chaveru, or the opposite. You could mix and match Hana with Achila. In the end of the day, if there's going to be a shear of a Shavapruta of Hana, Mitztarfin Ze Im Ze, you can combine Achilas and Hanas of two different people, Vafil Lizman Meruba, even if it takes a period of many, many years of a half a Pruta today and half a Pruta tomorrow, 3 years, 10, 25 years later, you can combine. There's a special Chumra when it comes to Me'ila, you can combine even great distances in time. Fine. So then the Gemara begins as follows. Maishnahu, Maishnah Chaver. Why is it in the beginning, in the Mishnah, told us that if the Gizbar takes the Korah, if he takes the Evan from Hekdesh, he doesn't get Me'ila, but if he hands it over to his friend, so then there is a violation of Me'ila. What's the difference? And the Gemara explains, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, because Begizbar Hamusuros Lo Askin. We're talking about the particular Gizbar who's in charge here. Rashi says here, three lines down from the top, Begizbar Hamasoroslo, Osan Evan, O Oso Kora Askinim. We're dealing with a particular rock or a particular beam. Dechi Nalohu Adaim Bershusohem, or Bershus Hektish Ninu Ki Mitchila. Because he's the treasurer in charge of all the Hektish, of all the property of Hektish, so him taking it, that's not leaving the state of Hektish. He's considered a representative of Hektish wherever he goes. When he hands it over to his friend, it changes the shinoi mirshus hektesh lachol umal, and then there's a violation of meila. So again, one of the approaches in which a person violates meila if it changes ownership. The gizbar is always considered an extension of hektesh, so him taking it, it's not considered a shinoi at all. So then the Gemara says, we quote from the Mishnah, Bana, if the Gizbar took a rock, or if he took a Korah and built it into his house, there's no Me'ila until Besoch Beso, Eino Chayev, until he lives and gets Hana. So Gemara asks the question, Lamali Achiyodr Tachdeh, why do we have to wait until the Gizbar gets Hana from this beam, from this stone he built into his house? Kevin Deshanya Amal, the moment you did a Shinoi, the moment you changed the function, the purpose, something having to do with Me'i, with Hektish, that alone should be a Me'ila. If I take a beam and I nail it into my house, shouldn't that be Me'ila? Why do you have to wait until I get a Shir Hana? So Gemara answers, Amarav Kegon Shinicha Apiaruba. It's talking about a situation where he placed a rock to close up a window. He placed the beam to close up a crack, and he didn't actually nail or build it in. So just placing it down, that's not called a shinoi, so it's not until he lives underneath it, he gets some form of ana, will there be a violation of me'ila. Fine. So Gemara now says, based on this, the implication is that had he built it into the house, had he nailed it into the house, there would be a me'ila right away. So Gemara says, well, Chayim debanilai, if he had built it in, he didn't just simply place it in the hole, he didn't place it in the window, but he nailed it in, so then mi'as mal. The implication is that if you do build it into the house, as part of the house and with the nails and everything that goes along with it, you would have a me'ila even if you didn't get hana from it. So we see that there is a violation of me'ila even on that which is built in Mechubal Akarka. So the Gemara says, according to this, if you could get Hektish, if there's a Me'ila violation of that which is Mechubal Akarka, Lema Messiah Le L'Rav, let this support the position of Rav. What does Rav say? Rav holds the Amarav, HaMishtachav Labayis Asr. So if a person bows down to a house, so that's going to create an Isser of Avodah Zarah. Now, even though normally the din is Avodah Zarah, that's Mechubal Lakarka, it's not Asr, this particular case is where you took an item that was Talish, you took something detached, and then you put it, then you were Mechubal Lakarka, then you built it as part of the ground. So with regards to Avodah Zarah, Rav says, if you bow down to it, even if it's in this current state of being Mechubar, we still view it as being Talish, and there would be violation of, it would be Asr, Midin Avodah Zarah. So here as well, with regards to Me'ila, a similar thing would be true. If you take a Korah or Evan and you build it as part of the house, we still view this as being Talish, and one would get a violation of Me'ila. That's the suggestion of the Gemara, that we're comparing again the Isser of Avodah Zarah to the Isser of Me'ila, that which is Talish. V'achar koch Mechubar is Ketalish Dami with regards to Avodah Zarah and Me'ila. And the Gemara says, not true. Amar Rav Acha Berei di Rav Ika, we can make a big chilek between Me'ila and Avodah Zarah. This is not the, you cannot bring a proof from the case of Me'ila to support the Rav's Shita by Avodah Zarah. Why not? Because here is different. Hana, Hanires Le'anayim Asra Torah. So this is a different type of Hana. That really, if it was Talish and Mechubal Akarka, and then you got Hana, you would not violate Me'ila in this case, because it would be viewed as Mechubal Akarka, because right now it's Mechubal Akarka. What's going on here is, look at Rashi, the last eight narrow lines of Rashi here. The Hana Hanira Le'naim Asa Torah B'Me'ila. A Hana that is visible, the Torah asers, the Korazo Shibana B'Binan Hana Hanira Le'naim Hi Ulahacha Mo'ila. So somehow, Rashi doesn't explain that much, but the moment that you put the beam on, that's recognizable before you actually nailed it in, but everyone sees you're putting a stone in your house, you're putting a beam in your house. So once it's recognizable, once it's visible by your neighbors, that alone is considered Hana, and it's not because you later on nailed it in and now it's Mechubal Karka. It's before it was actually Mechubal Karka, was there some violation, because the moment there was a Nikar Le'anayim, that's when the Isser Me'ila kicked in, and very different than the case of Avodah Zarah. So Gemara then says, okay, let's say, Lema Messiah, Going back to the case now of Rav, who again, Rav is the one who holds that a person bows down to a Vodah Zarah that was Talish and a Charkach Mechubar, we view this as Talish Dami, and there would be an Isser of a Vodah Zarah. So Gemara says, Lema Masai Lei Hadar Bebayis Shel Hektish Kevin Shenena Mimena Mal. The din is, if a person lives in a house that's owned by Hektish, or that's been sanctified and dedicated to Hektish, so since he gets a Hana worth a Pruta, he's Mal. So why is that the case? Don't we say that if something's mechub lekarka, there's no violation of me'ila? So it must be because since it came from bricks and stones and wood and beams that were talish, and even though they're built right now, we view them as being talish, and there's an isra me'ila, just like Rav said by Avodah Zarah, that talish v'charkach mechubar, it's katalish damir. So Amar Reish Lakish says, no, don't bring a raya from the case of Hadar b'bayishel hekdesh, because Reish Lakish explains, Hasam over there, Bishek Desho Ulvasof Bano. We're talking about a case where first you're makdish the various items, the bricks and the beams before it was built, and then afterwards you built it. So then, since they came initially from stones and from beams that were hektish, so there's a violation of Me'ila even after it's been built. But the case of Rav is where you have a built house, everything's from Chulin, and then after it's already built, then you try to worship it for Avodah Zarah, and then you ask for Medina Avodah Zarah. That's very different than the Hektish case where the items were Hektish before it was actually built. So Aval, the Gemara says, but if it had been the case, Banu Ulvasov Hektesho, let's say I built a house from Chulin bricks and stones and wood. And then Ulvasov Hektesho, then I makdish it after it was built. My, what would the din be? Lo mol, there would not be a violation of Me'ila. The only time there's Me'ila, says Reish Lakish, if the items were Hektesh first, and then you built it, and then you lived in it. But if you built it first, and then you were makdish it, there wouldn't be a violation of Me'ila. So that's the case. There's no Me'ila if you makdish it after it's been built. My Yirya Roy Vatani, how can the Braisa only state a case of Hadar Rebayish Shem Ara? The Braisa tells us, the person lives in a house of Ma'ara, that's a cave, he used as a home, and he's makdish this cave, there's no Issur Me'ila. So why only a case of a Beis Shem'ara, a house that's a cave used as a house? Lema, why not give an example of Hadar B'bayis Shalavanam, a guy builds a house with a Shibana, with a Sof Hakdesh Shalamal. Give another case, not only if a cave has been sanctified, there's no Me'ila, even if I build a house, a makdish, there's also no Issur Me'ila, just like Reish Lakish is implying. So the Gemara says the reason why they didn't give the example of Bana Bayis Lasof Hektesho as Lo Ma'al, because it's not always the case. Amri, they say as follows. Ha psikale, halo psikale. Because when it comes to the Ma'ara, a Ma'ara was naturally made. A cave existed. I didn't build a cave. What it means is I went to a cave that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. It came about naturally. So there, every cave, no matter what, will never be a violation of Me'ila, even though guys makdish the cave, because the cave was Ma'ara mitchila atzof. It was always Ma'ara. It was always Mechubal Karka. There's never ever Me'ila by Ma'ara. It's psikale. It's clear. It's clear cut. It's defined. No chilukim. No distinctions. But how, when it comes to the bias, lo psikle, it's not so clear. It depends. If it's a house that was first hektesho and then acharkach bana, there's mila. If it's first bana v'acharkach hektesho, then there wouldn't be mila. So since the bias case is not across the board, it's not a clear-cut case, it depends on the scenario, the bias didn't want to mention that case, and that's why it was left off. But eina chanami, there is a chilek between bana l'vasav hektesho versus hektesho v'acharkach bana. Hadron lach hanen. Okay, the sixth and final perek of the Masechta. The perek begins as follows. This is quoted a few times in Shas. The Mishnah tells us, "Hashliach she'asa shlichuso." So let's say I'm the gizbar and I give you as a messenger, I give you a hektish to use. The din is that you go ahead and use it. Baal bais mal. So the baal bais is against Mila, but lo asa. It's one of the unique cases. The Gemara gives a few examples that even though ain shliach d'var vera, if I say I want you to go kill Reuven, and he goes ahead and kills Reuven, I'm not responsible. He's the murderer. Even though I appointed him as my agent, ain't shlich levar vera. You don't have a vera through shlichas. It was his own decision. One of the exceptions we have where there is a shliach levar vera is by me'ila. If I appoint Reuven to be shliach to get hana from this hektish, even though he does the avera, I actually get the avera. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. Yeah, shliach she'asa shlichuso ba'abayzmal, the initial mishaleach, the guy who sent the shliach, is the one who gets the avera, even though he didn't do the ma'isa. So that's the din, because what comes out is there's based on a psukim the Gemara talks about, but at the end of the day, hekdesh is all, mi'ila is all about a totsah, that there was benefit that was misused, even though the mice was done by him, I'm the one who actually caused them. I was a catalyst for there being a desecration of hekdesh, and therefore me as the Baal Bayis, I'm the one who gets the yesim ila. But let's say lo asa shlichuso. Let's say I point Reuven. He doesn't follow my shlichus. He does something different. He gets hana from me'ila, but not how I told him to do it. So then in that case, hashliach mal. The shliach gets me'ila because he did not follow my orders. I'm considered divorced from him in respect to the shlichus, and therefore he gets the me'ila, not me. So Ketad, what's an example of this? The Mishnah asks. Amar lo tein basar le'orchim. I tell him, please give the meat to the guest. V'nasalem kavet. He gives us some of the liver. Or I say, give a kaved, give the liver to him, v'nasan la basa, and he gives some other meat to him. So the din is a shliach mal, then in that case a shliach gets mila, because he didn't do what I told him. I told him basa, he gave kaved. I told him kaved, he gave basa. He did something different than from what I told him. The shliach gets the mila, not me. Amar lo tein lem chaticha. Chaticha, I say, give one piece to each person. V'omar, tali, shtam, he tells them to take two. So he goes against what I said, and they behem not lose shalosh, and they took thirds. They took a three of them. Kula malu, they all get mila. Because I said take one, he did one, but he told him to take a second one. So he also violated the shlicha. So he added on to it. So the shliach gets an avera, and the guest took a third davar hekdesh, and therefore all three parties are violating an iser mila. So Gemara now asks a question at the very top here. Rabbeinu Beis, man tana. Who is one who holds that whenever the shliach needs to consult with the mishaleach, that's considered two items? Which means if I, you know, he sent me to go buy, a Hebrew book, and I say, go back to him. I said, the only English books available, the fact that I need to consult with him, if it's okay, that means they're two different items. But if I was sent in a shlichas, I understood, well, if there were no Hebrew books, I'll get him the English translation. I don't have to consult with him. So then that would not be considered two different dinim. So the idea is, whenever you have to call milsa de mimlach Allah, whenever the shliach needs to consult back with the meshaleach to say if it's okay if I get this as a replacement for what you had suggested, that's considered tarti mili. But whenever the shliach does not have to consult, it's understood that if this is not available, I could buy something in place of it that's very similar, and you don't have to consult, that's considered one item. That's not considered a violation of the shlichas. So who holds this way? So Amar Rav Chista, Rav Chista explained the below Rabbi Kiva. This is not like Rabbi Kiva. I mean, because the point was that what the Gemara is going on is the Mishnah says I said basar, he said kaved, I said kaved, he did basar. So the understanding is normally a sheikh would have to consult with the initial guy. Is basar the same thing as kaved? Is kaved the same thing as basar? And since the sheikh didn't consult, they're two different items and was considered a violation of the shlichas. So who holds this way? So again, the Gemara says Amar Rav Chista below Rabbi Kiva. This is not like Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah Maseches Nedarim. The Mishnah tells us that Tanan Hanode Mirayerek Mute Bedilum. The guy says, I'm taking a nether not to have any vegetables. He's actually allowed to have dilum, a gourd, I think, right? He can have gourds. Gourds not considered, when it comes based on Nedarim, Nedarim goes Achar Lashon B'nei Adam, the way people term it. So people apparently don't call gourds vegetables. When you say yarek, yarek, you mean, I don't know, lettuce or whatever it's meant, I don't know. But it's not gourds. So therefore, if I took a nether on yarek, that only means yarek, whatever is lettuce, cucumbers, and tomatoes, but gourds are not included, I'm allowed to have gourds. Rabbi Kiva also, Rabbi Kiva says, not true, you can't have gourds either, that's usr. That's usr, that's included in this understanding. So then Gemara says, so how do we prove this from this point? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Amar Rav Chista, the lo Rabbi Kiva, the Tanan, Hanode, this is around 10 narrow lines down, Hanode bin Ayerek Mutter bedilum, Rabbi Kiva Oser. Rabbi Kiva thinks that a gourd is a type of yarek. They say to Rabbi Kiva, "Valo Adam Omer L'Shlucho." A guy says to his agent, "This is a messenger. Kachli yarek, go buy a vegetable for me." He said, "I couldn't find. All I could find was gourds." So Alma came to Mimlach Minachrino. Since he had to consult and say, "I didn't find vegetable. I found the Duluim." Doesn't that statement imply that I didn't satisfy what you wanted? That tells me that dilum is a separate min than a vegetable. So Amr Lahen, so Rabbi Akiva says back to them, so again, minachrinuhu, dilachimutu b'dilum. But Omer Lehen, Rabbi Akiva says, that's the point. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Kulomer Misham Ani Laman. That's from the very same the source. Mean the Afa Gav de Mimlach Chada Milsi. Even though he had to consult, it's still considered one min. Mean Klum Hu Chozer Omer Yerek Lamatasi El Kidnis. He didn't say, I didn't find vegetables, but here's kidneys instead. All I found was diluyim. That sounds like, the way he says it, he says, I didn't find vegetables, I found beans instead. He said, no, all I found was gourds. That sounds like gourds is a type of vegetable I found, but the only vegetable available was gourds. That implies that it was still bichlal, the general category of vegetables. So this is a very subtle machlokas that they have, whether dilum is included as part of vegetables or not. But either way, we see the Rabbi Kiva says that even though you have to consult and they say, I didn't fully satisfy you what you want, that's considered one min, it's not considered two min. And so this is not like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says back, no, Abai Amar Afilu Teimu Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva can still go along with our Mishnah. How? Mi lo boi limluchai. You not have to consult. What does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, Afilu Teimu Rabbi Akiva. Behind you Taima, Dichi Nasan Lehen Kfar Mal, Bibnesha Nasan Lamidaito. Because when he gave the cover at the covet, when he gave the covet, he's mal mipnei nasan lamidaita, because that's considered going based on the das of the ba'abayis. Di lo bayim luche ba'abayis imitin lehem covet alo v'chem de lo imlech mishim hachi mal hashliach the kimishin nasan lamidaita dami v'lo mishim dam rinan detrei mili ninu elachad milsa ninu. One second here. Right, so the point here is, in this particular case, when it comes to a kaved, that even though by the diluim, that case, he thinks that diluim and yark are very similar, when it comes to the case of basa and kaved, even Rabbi Kiva would agree that the two items are very different. If a guy wants to give a liver instead of classical meat, he would have to consult. And since he didn't consult in this particular case, so Rabbi Kiva would agree that the shliach did not fulfill the words of the mishleach, and therefore there would be a violation of mila for the shliach, and not for the Baal Bayis in this particular case. So, Ki Amru Rabbanan Kamei D'Rava, when they told the Chachamim the words of Abai, how he said, Rabbi Kiva even agrees in this Mishnah, Amar Lehu, they said back, Ah, Shapir Kamer Nachmani, Nachmani, which was another way they called the nickname for Abai, Abai says, well, the Rabbi Kiva can work out nicely even with this Mishnah here in Maseches Me'ila. So now the Gemara wants to know, Man Tana Depala Galea, the Rabbi Kiva, who is the one who argues on the position of Rabbi Kiva? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he, the Tani, the Brisa tells us that Hanolder min Abasa, a guy who takes a nether, he's not going to get Hana from Basar. And Asr b'chol mini Basar, he can't get benefit from any Basar. But let's say Asr b'rosh b'raglaim, he can't have Hana from the head, he can't have Hana from the legs. Bakana, v'kavid, v'alev, the different type of pipes, the intestines, the liver, the heart. V'asr b'basar ofos, he can't even have a bird meat. However, even though he took a nether from Basar in general, he is allowed to have the permitted to have fish and grasshoppers. That's the position of the Tanakhama. Comes along now, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, Mati Barosh, Berglaim, Bakana, Bakavid Vofos. When he says Basar, he only means a particular Basar. I'm not sure which Basar he refers to, but I guess the main part, maybe the ribs or something, but it does not include the liver, the heart, the brain, and it doesn't include birds, it doesn't include the dog, the chagavim, everything's mutter. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is very, very particular in what you said, that item, and nothing else, even though it might be similar. The chayin haya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, kravayim lav basar hein, the intestines are not considered basar, it's not considered that edible, v'ochlein lav bar indish, and those who eat the intestines are not considered human. It's not part of the actual basar. So the Gemara then says, okay, so now the Tanakhama, who said that there is a more expansive definition of basar, so how come for that Tanakhama who says when you say basar it includes rosh, it includes kavod, it includes all these different items, so maishna basar ofos mishim deragil inish, so how come when he says basar it includes even chicken, it even includes poultry? The amar lo eshkachi basar dechevsa v'asa basar detzipari. Because if a guy says, a shliach who is told to go buy basar, he'll say, I didn't find basar of an animal, but I found you birds, poultry instead. So that sounds like it's still bichlal basar. That's the case. Hachanami. Inish, a person would also say, "Lemeimra lo ashchei bisur dechevasa. I didn't find any, venison. I didn't find any bus or v'chaya v'asi dogim. I brought fish instead." People say that all the time. I couldn't find you this, but I found you something else. It's just like a person would say, "I didn't find you venison. I didn't find you bison, but instead I bought you fish. So to I bought you poultry." A guy would say, "I didn't find you venison, but I bought you fish instead." So that's not a raya. So Gemara says, "No, Amar Papa b'yom ha'kazaskinim." We're dealing this particular case of the guy taking nether from Basar. He's talking about the day where he had been bloodlet. He went to the doctor. They were drawing some blood from him. So the din is, delach inish dogim. People don't eat fish on the day of bloodletting. It's apparently not healthy. It's important to have protein after you have, or any type of sugar, after a person has the blood bloodlet from him. But apparently fish isn't healthy for you. So it was understood that all he wanted was either basar chay or basar oaf, but he didn't want basar dogim. That's why. But in general, basar inachanami, basar would include basar ofos, basar chaya, basar behemah, basar dogim. But this is a particular case where it's with yom hakaza. Ihach, that's the case. Tziparinami lo nechal. We'll read the parentheses of the law here. A bird he shouldn't eat either. The Amar, we have a statement that Shmuel would tell us. The Sochar, a guy who got blood left in his shoulder, apparently, v'achol tzipar, and ate a bird, parach leba b'ki tzipar. His heart's going to fly away like a bird. It's dangerous to have birds. So just like it's dangerous to have fish, it's also dangerous to have birds the day you have dam hakaza. And moreover, oh, Tanya, the Raisa further tells us, ein makizim dam, when a person gets hakaza dam, he should not have lo al dogim, lo al ha'opas, lo al basam liach. He shouldn't even have meat. Shouldn't even have salted meat. So many things are very dangerous for a person after the Hakazas Dam. So it's hard to say that this is a din is talking about a case of Hakazas Dam. The Gemara says, you're right. It's not a case where you had Hakazas Dam. Rather, Ela Amar Papa, the case, Bayoma, the Chayven Le Eina Askin. It's talking about a situation where he had some eye ache or his eye was bothering, he couldn't see well. Then that, Dilo Achel Dagim, that apparently it's not normal, wasn't healthy to have fish when your eyes were bothering you. But having meat of a chay, of a basar, of a behemah, of a basar oaf, that is all permitted. And that's why when he says basar, it did not include basar dagim, because basar dagim is not healthy for the person with the eye pains. So then the Gemara says, Amar lo, we had the last case of the Mishnah where the Baal Bai said, give one piece to the guest. And the Shliach ended up giving two pieces to the guest. And the guests ended up taking three pieces. So each one added another level onto the Hekdesh, and therefore both, all three rather, the Baal Bayis, the Shliach, and the Oreach all violate Me'ilah separately. So Amar lo, the Baal Bayis said to the Shliach initially, Tein lo chaticha, give a chaticha. So Shema Amina, we learn from here, Mos v'al shlichuso have a Shliach. I mean, I would have thought, if I was told to give one, I gave two, is that considered a change of shlichus, or is that considered adding on to the shlichus? I could feel it's a change of shlichus, and therefore now I'm considered completely disconnected from the Baal Bayis, and he should not violate anything. He told me one, I did two. So I said two is different than what he had said, and the Baal Bayis should be completely off the hook from Me'ilah. The din is telling me that no, when I add on, it's considered a most of our shlichus, so meaning I'm still carrying out his shlichus of the one chaticha, I'm just adding a second one, and therefore the shlichus still exists. He still gets his iser from the shlichus back to the Baal Bayis. So Shema Amina, we learn from here again, most of our shlichus have a shliach. He still acts as a shliach. So Amar Rav Sheisha says, no, it's not true. Damar shliach tol achas midaito v'achas midaito. I mean, this is a particular case where the shliach explicitly said, I'm giving one chaticha as a shlichus for the Baal Bayis, and that's shlichus, and that's done. They said, I'm giving you a second one, al daiti, on my das, therefore it's considered two separate actions. But if it was a regular case where the guy just gave two pieces of meat, seemingly acting as a Baal Bayis shliach, he would not act as a Baal Bayis shliach, that would actually sever the shlichus. It's only because he stated clearly that one meat is from the shlichus, one meat from here, that's why there's a violation of shlichus. And the Gemara explains in the Tab of Chaf Alf, and we'll stop here, now the same, and what would I think, akar shliach, shlichuso, in this particular case, that I say one's from him and one's from me, maybe that's considered enough of a akar shliach shlichuso de Baal Bayis. That would be considered a akira, uprooting the shlichus of the Baal Bayis, v'lomal, the Baal Bayis shouldn't get mila. Kamashla, not true, since he said one meat from him and one meat from me, that's considered still acting as a shliach, and therefore not only is a shliach getting an itzer mila, but so too the Baal Bayis is getting an itzer mila as well. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue tomorrow.